Hallelujah. We've been in Matthew 3, and I just want to bring a little exhortation. I do want to bring Tina up in here in a few moments also, but I want to make us aware, because really, Kim, you tapped into what the function of what I'm speaking about here. But now to Matthew 3, just remember that we're coming to a Lord and Savior who comes to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm going to bring us back to that in a minute. He comes to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. But if you'll go with me to Matthew 7, I want to show you something for just a moment. Matthew 7, we're going to quote something here, and I think the reality is we've focused on this a lot of different times, maybe in our Christian walk, but we've looked at the wrong part of this. We've looked at the wrong emphasis, and that wrong emphasis has had some negative responses. So let's look in here, and let's allow Jesus to breathe into the emphasis. So here you go. Let's go to verse 17, Matthew 7. I still hear that wonderful sound of pages flipping. Glory to God. So it says, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and you will know them by their fruit." And I was raised up by a gentleman who basically spoke to everyone, spoke to us continually, be fruit inspectors. And there's a great thing about being a fruit inspector, because see, sometimes if we're not looking at the fruit of something, we're not understanding what actually happens with it. But if we're focusing just on the fruit of something, we're missing the objective that he was trying to present. Because what is the principle, the main noun in this, the main thing that the main emphasis of this is about the tree. This passage, see, has been used to talk about whether or not, well, hey, if you have bad fruit, then you must be a bad tree. But no, that's not the point. That's not actually the way it happens in nature. Where does an apple get its identity? From its tree. You know, when I moved into my first house, there was a tree in the backyard. It was in the center of the backyard, right against the fence. And I watched this thing, this tree there, and it was growing up, and it was a couple of years old when we got there. And I'm looking at this thing, in year one, nothing happens. In year two, nothing happens. In year three, nothing happens. But in year four, in year four, something began to happen. It began to put out blossoms. See, I didn't even know what kind of tree it was. I'm not great on horticultural things. My brother probably could have identified the tree by what leaves it was that had on it, etc. But I didn't know what kind of tree it was, because it was not something that's indigenous to Texas or to Illinois or any other places that I've ever been. And so in this thing, it began to put out blossoms, and lo and behold, it began to put out blossoms and become a tree, an apple tree. Because as it planted to put out the blossoms, and then soon the fruit followed. But I want to ask you, when was it an apple tree? Even before it came out of the ground, it was still an apple. When it was just merely nothing more than a seed, when it's just an idea, just a concept of something that might could happen. You only get that in Texas, might could. Might could happen. It might could be. Y'all, it might could be. It might. There was just a concept. In a moment, it could be an apple tree. But see, the deal was, it was an apple tree even in the barest of the image, from the moment it became an image. Now, it didn't bear any fruit. Did that mean it wasn't an apple tree? Those first 3 years, it was still an apple tree. It didn't bear fruit yet. See, the principal noun in this story that is about the tree. See, the story is not about, our productivity. It's about our identity. It's not about our action. It's about our revelation. Do we understand our identity as a tree? Do we understand our identity in Christ? Do we understand the identity God has given us? Because when we understand our identity as a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God, then we can begin to have the image. And when we set in that image, then that image will produce the fruit. But sometimes we start looking for the fruit before we produce the image. We've got to be set in the image. When we're set in the image, then that image will begin to release fruit of its natural accord. We don't have to be so focused on trying to create the fruit if we'll just walk in the image. At one point, that tree produced a bad apple. Something happened to it. A bug got into it. It got spoiled. Did that make the tree bad? See, the tree still held the image as a tree, as an apple tree. But see, that fruit eventually fell off and was done with. But it wasn't any good. But that one fruit doesn't determine the nature or the identity of the tree. See, if we focus just on our production, then we can come into condemnation, guilt, and shame because our production sometimes is going to produce a bad apple. And sometimes we have one bad apple in our production and we identify ourselves as a bad tree, but we're not a bad tree just because something happened in our identity there. Just because one action resulted in a wrong revelation. It didn't change the nature of the tree. It was still an apple tree. See, if we get all caught up in looking at just the action of the fruit, then we forget the identity that we're coming out of. And we get up and that causes guilt, shame, and condemnation. But you know what? If you make it about His action, if you make it about the identity He created, you'll never walk in guilt, shame, and condemnation because even if there's a bad fruit for a moment, you know it's going to fall off and it won't be a part of you anymore. It won't be a part of you anymore. When this fruit comes full age, and it in turn produces more apples. It comes into a stage of fatherhood, beginning to impart life in other places. See, that's the task before us. That's what's happening right here. This is what God is doing in these days and in this moment, is as He's been baptizing us in this fire, as He's been baptizing us in the Holy Ghost, what He's moving us to is a new identity in the love of God. And as He's moving us to a new identity in the love of God, the result of that is an understanding of who we are as sons and daughters in the kingdom. And even though we might produce a fruit occasionally from time to time that doesn't match up with that, it doesn't change the nature of who we are or where we're going. We have to be convinced of where we're going. We have to stay with where we're going. Even if we're not producing fruit yet, we have to know that it's our identity to be there. That's what God's doing in this hour. See, as He finished up the Old Testament, the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4:6, tells us this, that He's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. In other words, He's restoring the identities of fatherhood. the very first opening verses of the New Testament in Luke 1:17, he's restoring, he's saying the same thing, he's repeating what was said by Malachi, and he's basically saying, I'm restoring that because what? I'm bringing the unrighteous to righteousness. Because I have to restore this fatherhood. Why? That's why it was so important to him in John 14. And I'm running this down to a close. But because I'm restoring this in John 14, he says what? I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. That was the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost. Why he come to baptize us in the Holy Ghost is because he doesn't want us to be fatherless anymore. He doesn't want us to stand in the place of being fatherless because almost all the ills of the world can be traced back to being fatherless. And that doesn't mean that your father wasn't there. Sometimes your father was there and that was the problem of being fatherless. Sometimes the father, there was no father in the picture. But see, all those things create issues and openings and the voids in us that if we fill it wrongly, it will take us away from God. But it also, those things also do present us an opportunity if we take it rightly to draw us into the presence, to the power, to the place and the position God has called you. When you allow him to not leave you fatherless, when you allow him to draw you into the love that's available, then we can begin to experience what he's always designed for us to experience. We're not orphans. We're not orphans. See, this change of the kingdom of God, the change was he was removing the orphans and he's taking that out of the picture and he was bringing us into a place of understanding our sonship, understanding our inheritance, and understanding who we are in God. Our identity has to change. The identity. Wow. Okay. Hallelujah. I don't do that often. I'm not given to those things, but wow. Okay. His identity. He has an identity. See, in America, we have an identity crisis. Much of what's happened in our country is because we've been stripped of the understanding of fatherhood. We've been told that it didn't matter, but it matters all the more. It matters all the more. We have to understand who we are in Christ. Because if we understand who we are in Christ, it settles those issues. You know, someone who knows that they have a father and their father is standing over them and their father is with them and for them doesn't have to walk in fear. We don't have to walk in insecurity. You know, all the ills that we see in our society are because we're not identifying our place in Christ. When we have fear in our life, when we have insecurity, then those things show up in arrogance, jealousy, strife. Those things can be traced back to this identity. And so when our identity is coming back out of the nature of who God says we are, when we allow him to restore what he says we're going to be, our identity changes. I don't have to walk in fear or lack. I don't have to be attached to lack anymore. I don't have to be attached to insignificance or worthlessness anymore. He's got something for you. Hallelujah. Oh my. I just jumped off in. And we should have, oh well, okay. Jesus. It's too far to go down back, you know. Hallelujah. Yeah, but absolutely. This identity is why he came to baptize us in the Holy Ghost and fire. Because he knew, And I believe John the Baptist knew. I'm standing on the cusp of something that's about to change. I've been talking to you and dealing with you on the external things, but Christ Jesus is coming. And when Christ Jesus is here, he's going to deal with you in the internal thing, because it's in the internal thing that our identity changes. Our identity doesn't change from an external washing. Our identity changes from an internal cleansing. When we allow the Holy Ghost in, he's going to change us. When we allow the fire of God in, he's going to change us. And we allow these things to happen, he's going to raise up an identity in him. The very answer to the last question, the last statement of the Old Testament was held in that moment when John said, "This is the shifting now." In the past, we had an identity crisis. Right now, that changes, because we have the one here who's here to change it. The one who's here to cause us to rise up in the fullness of the understanding of who we are in the Father. He's going to wash us and cleanse us, not just of the external dirt and filthiness, but he's going to change us from the inside out, in our identity in him. Hallelujah. I know, Carlos, that's your word, but I'm stealing it today. Hallelujah. That's right. So in this, when he talks about baptizing in the Holy Ghost and fire, he's talking about baptizing us into something that changes us. Because remember, the Holy Ghost and fire are both agents of change. The Holy Ghost and fire work differently in our lives to achieve that change. But it's what happens in the baptism, it's what happens in this change that's all the difference in the world. See, John could only practice something that was on the outside. But he had something for us. Jesus has something for us on the inside. There's two words for the word baptism. One is bapto, meaning to dip. The other is baptizo. Baptizo, meaning to immerse. The difference, see, and in this situation right here, what he's saying is baptizo. What does that mean? Well, why is that important to me? Well, the pastor's going to explain it to you right now. There's a recipe from way, way, way back about how to make pickles. And it uses both words. And the first step, the step one, is you take that cucumber and you bapto it in hot water, meaning you dip it in hot water. When you dip it in hot water, you know how to do that? Hallelujah. When you dip it in hot water, I saw them pointing at you. So when you dip it in hot water, guess what? It's wet. It's changed for a moment, but when it comes out, it's still a cucumber. It's still a cucumber. Given enough time and all the water comes back out of it, it'll be back to its original state. But when you baptizo it, you immerse it in the vinegar. And when it's immersed in the vinegar, it changes. And it's no longer a cucumber. It becomes a pickle. And you can't change it back. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't change it back. It's never going back, because it's already a pickle. And there's no change. It now knows its identity. Its identity is a pickle now. And it changed. And it's no longer a cucumber. And because of that, it can celebrate its identity in Christ. It celebrates its identity in who he says it is. And it doesn't matter if it produces a bit of fruit that might not always line up, because it already has its identity as a pickle. This can never be changed. It can never be changed. Tina, come. See, there's something, maybe not not everybody quite understands what we're doing here, but what we're doing here is making room. We're making room in our life for this change and this transformation so that we become complete and whole in our identity and who God says we are. And maybe not everybody understands all of what's happening here, but I can tell you that there's a reason that God has said make room. And part of the reason and part of the thing he's wanting to make room is for us to make room in our heart for what is in Tina, to make room in our heart for what's in me. Because see, until we make room for all of it, we can't complete the transformation. Amen. Now see, I know we look alike. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that to you. Hallelujah. But we look alike in the spirit. But see, there's something in Tina that's different than what's in me. And that's something that all of us need, okay? Because I can tell you, I can identify in the baptism of the Holy Ghost in very remarkable ways. I see the actions of the Holy Ghost every day. I see Him operating in me and around me and through me. But I can tell you, she has an operation in the fire of God that I don't understand. I've not been immersed in yet. Yet. It's her job to immerse me. And you guys get to watch it happen. You guys get to watch it happen because we're all going to get immersed so that the fire of God changes us in significant ways. So we have an identity. See, this breakthrough anointing, the breaker anointing on her life is because she has an identity in the fire that I don't yet have. I want you to have that identity in the fire. Now, it may not look the same as it does with her, but it's okay. Your identity in the fire is going to produce the result of sonship in your life. That's what we're looking for.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Come on and give God a round of applause. Amen. I was so receiving. When he said, Tina, come up, I wanted to stay sitting down. Glory be to God. I think that we're hitting some points. I think we're hitting some places, some areas. There's a great stirring. There's a great revival fire that is broken out nationwide. Come on and put your hands together. And it's going on. And this first service is tangible. I thank God for Courtney. She's offline and in the house. Amen. Amen. We got folks jumping offline and coming in the house. And I'm just excited about it, because if you change one life at a time, you can change a whole village. Come on, somebody. And after you change that village, you can change the town. And when you change that little small town, you can change nations. Come on, somebody. That's what kind of power we have. If you have the power to change one person, you do have the power to change the whole nation. Well, I see that one amen back there. That means that you're going to be the one to do it. I want to get behind him a little bit just for a few minutes. And I just want to reevaluate the identity. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Maybe it's okay that I'm just an open book. If I try to hide something, it don't work no way. Because if you catch me in conversation, I'll tell you all my business in 5 minutes. Come on, somebody. I don't know why it works like that. I don't have anything to hide. Even when I try to hide it and I'm hiding it, I'm hiding it. But if you talk to me in 5 minutes about a certain situation, all my junk just start coming out the trunk. Come on, somebody. But it's all for the glory of God. It's all for what he's done, what he's doing, how he's moving. And it's all about the identity. And I want to reevaluate it on and just ask you a question and ask yourself, have you found your identity? Come on and put your hands together. Have you found it yet? And that's what I'm talking about. If somebody was talking to me and they say, have you found it yet? All my junk just started coming out. It just being exposed, and my struggles, my weaknesses, everything that I did bad start coming out, because I realized I got a whole lot of good in me now. So I can talk about the bad because of all the good now. So when you can talk about your junk, that means you reached a level that your good outweighs all of your bad. Come on and tell him yes. talking about your identity. Have you found it yet? Have you been looking for it lately? Have you looked up under the beds and looked up under all the places that you think that your keys are? You think that your identity is there? It doesn't work like that. The places that you lose your shoes, you think that's where your identity is. The areas that you just can't find. Have you found it yet? We can talk about it. We can release. But the honesty is when you realize, I haven't found it yet. That's when the revival fire consumes. That's the entering in of something that's getting ready to happen in your life. But if you're secure in the identity, we know fact fruit is coming from your life. And with the identity, you know, some, it's like, is this supposed to be like a character? Like a certain holified man or a holified woman? Is the identity is how you dress and talk to people? Is the identity how much money you have? Where you work at? Is the identity, or is what somebody else thinks about me? Is the identity of, is it the way I'm looking? Is it how I'm standing, how I'm sitting? Is the identity, is how I get up in the morning and the way I brush my teeth, or how I leave for the house? What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the open eyes and the burning heart. That's how you know that you got your identity. Come on and put your hands together. I'm talking about the open eyes. I'm talking about the heart burns for the Father. Because you finally got in front of the approver and he said yes. So everything that you're thinking that it is, he said yes. He approves you. There is an approval process that switches you from that orphan stage to a daughter. It's approval process. It's a process coming from an orphan little boy to a real man of God. It's a process. Come on, somebody. It's a process. You're thinking, you jump out of box real fast, and that's how. It's a process. It moves you in front of him. It gets you in front of the approver. The one that checks you off. And anything that you got to ask him, he says, yes. He never tell you no. Because the burning of his fire take care of every no that needs to be a no. His fire does it for you. You know, you can't get in front of him and say, next week I was going to change my attitude. If you could just approve me on credit today. Come on, somebody. Can you just give me some credit? And I know I was road rage out there, but if you just overlook that and approve me, I know I can get on into the kingdom and serve real hard. It doesn't work like that. You stand in front of him as a road rager. I was a bad girl. So I couldn't unpack over here. And get in front of him and ask for an approval. I had to bring big bad old Tina on in, come on, in front of her. I say, I'm kind of heavy, Lord. I'm kind of heavy. He said, you got miles behind you, but bring it on. Come on, somebody. You got miles. You got baggage behind you. You got stuff attached to you, girl. Bring that stuff. You got, you dragging family. You dragging attitudes back. You dragging all. Bring the stuff. And get in front of me. Well, the problem is we don't want to get in front of him with the stuff. That's the problem. So we displace the identity to hide the stuff. Not realizing that when we bring him the stuff, the fire of the Holy Ghost evaporates, dissolve, dissipate, eradicate, and destroy the stuff without you even moving. You're like, what happened to that? What happened to all that stuff I used to do? What? It's not there. And it's another process, man of God, to accept that it's gone. Come on and put your hands together. It's a whole nother. You got a whole nother process to go. You're like, ooh, I'm changed. Oh, I don't feel the urge to. I feel the urge to do right. I'm scared of myself. Come on, somebody. You can get so good in the identity of God that it scares you because you're moving right. You're doing right. You're doing everything right. You're praying right. You're treating people right. You're loving right. It just, so, oh, Jesus. My favorite word is there's a new chef in town. There's a new chef in town. She's bad. She's bad. The identity. So in that, standing in front of him, things happen in front of him. Have you found it yet? Do you have a desire to find it? We can give up on this thing quickly. Some people start off searching hard. And I think that's the problem. You can look too hard for God and never find him. You're looking so deep for him. Deep, I'm just deep. I'm just all in. I'm so deep. I just feel something about to what? And that something may never happen. This is not hard. This is a place of vulnerability. There's some men sitting here that vulnerable. Like, whoa. That's big for some males. I can't move into that place like that. I kind of wall up right here. I kind of just stay right here because I feel safe right here. But moving into him requires you to be vulnerable. Requires you to not know what's going to happen. Amen, somebody. So identity going in, there's two functions, and I can pick this up how it's laid out, but I can touch on the open eyes, and I can touch on a burning heart. This is a result that you didn't found something in him. This is a result. It seemed like we've preached over the people. It seemed like we've preached it over, head over. And then everybody didn't get it. So now the reset come back around. I feel it. I feel the reset coming back around. and it's coming with a revival fire. It can't just come in power alone. It's coming with fire now. It's so powerful that when it got reset, we didn't even know that it was going to reset with fire. He said, not only do I baptize with power, I'm going to baptize you with fire. Ha! Somebody tell him, yes! Not only am I going to scratch and take away and do, I'm going to light a fire in you. The identity is not the physical appearance or what you think, nor others. It is the spiritual eyes that is open that you can see who you are. Somebody tell him yes. It's the burning heart that burns for the one that showed you who you are. That's what this is about, the two functions. And so when I got in front of him, when I pulled myself together, pull yourself together. Pull yourself together and get in front of him. Stand in front of him. And Sharon was preaching yesterday and she mentioned about the intimacy of him and being face to face with him. So she was saying, you know, once you pray and you come into his presence, you come into his face, you come into his glory. And I saw it. I said, when you move into that place, not only you come into his presence, but you got his attention. My God, thank you, Jesus. Now you got his attention. So, oh, there you go. He knows when you're there in him. We're not to do a visit. We are to stay. We are to park now. We're not to go in and visit him for a little bit and tell him I'll be right back next Sunday. We are to park the car. In fact, valet it. Let somebody else come and get the car and take it so you don't have a way up out of there. Come on, somebody. We're just going to leave you stranded in the presence of God. Somebody tell him, yes. I think that's what happened to me. I think that's what happened. That I was left stranded in the presence of God. Well, how did you get stranded? Everybody left me. I didn't have no choice but to be stranded in the presence of God. People leave you, let them leave you stranded in his presence. People walk away, let them walk away, but you're stranded in the presence of God. Somebody tell him yes. It's fun being stranded in the presence of God. You ain't got no money, you ain't got no ride, you ain't got nowhere to go, you ain't got no friends, you ain't got no husband, you ain't got nothing. But I got Jesus. Come on, somebody. Ah, look at who's here with me. Holy Ghost, thank you so much. Thank you, Father. I feel you right now. Lord, hallelujah. In the beginning, nobody's going to show up to your party but God. But he shows up. He's showing up for a reason. These meetings are coming around as a reset for a reason. We don't want you to miss what's yours. What's yours, Robert? We don't want you to miss what belongs to you. It's not fair for the assembly of the leaders to get it and the sheep stay lost. It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. For people to stand up here like they're all great and the sheep still trying to wander in the wilderness, trying to find their way. That devil is a liar. This is the year that the sheep will outrun the shepherd. I said this is the year that the sheep will outrun the shepherd. I'm going to say it again. This is the year that the sheep outruns the shepherd. I'm going to watch my daughter do more than what I did. Well, what's she doing all that for? She's supposed to do all of that. My sheep is going to outrun the shepherd. You ought to make a declaration over your house. You ought to tell your kids, you're supposed to do more than what I did. God. The shepherd. And then the sheep. The sheep. Bad. I think I hear another bad. They just get together. Bad. They hear the sound. Bad. They just circle together. Bad. I hear another sound of sheep. They just get together. Have you found anything yet? No, we ain't found nothing yet. The leaders will unlock this kingdom this year. Come on, somebody. I say the shepherd is going to unlock the kingdom this year. You're going to find destiny. You're going to find purpose. You're going to find out who you are. Why? Because ain't no secret to this. What's the secret? Ain't no secret. Ain't no secret. This breaker anointing. Somebody got the same breaker sitting in here right now. Somebody got the breaker. Somebody got the shaking of the breaker. Come on. Somebody got the wooing and the stirring of the breaker. Somebody got a fire burning and it says breaker on it. And everything you do, it breaks and shatters. There's not only one breaker in the earth. It's thousands of breakers out here. We just got to raise them up and tell them, I see the breaker in your life. You need to tap into it till it comes to pass. Thank you, Father. Open eyes. Burning hearts. My eyes is open. And one thing about spiritual eyes coming open. They pop open. And you see. You're like, oh. It could be a little overwhelming in the beginning. You're like, whoa, I just saw me. I see me. Stop trying to see Tina. See you. Because Tina's well looking right at her. Go, girl. Get on out there, girl. Run, girl. Run hard. Get up and run. I know how to deal with Tina. Girl, you bad. And you better just get over that pity party. Come on, girl. You got a whole lot of God in you. You got a breaker on your life. You know God. You serve God. Come on and let's go. You know who you are. You know, I don't need you to see Tina. I need you to see you. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to online? I need you to see you. I need you to tap into you. I need you to accept who you are. God, catch it like that. And don't let it go. It's time to embrace. Because I believe in linking chains together with strong leaders. I believe in what it does. Come on, somebody. I believe in what it does. It does something. Come here, Shelly. Come here, Roxanne. It does something. You know, me up here is good. But as we link together, I can't even go down. I mean, I'm trying to have a pity party. Come on, somebody. But because what I'm locked up to, it don't even let me go down. Come on, somebody. It holds me up because I got strong towers by me. This is the year that you won't fight alone. You're going to fight with strong leaders. In the name of Jesus. Why? That's what me and Pastor Chuck were doing. We are fighting together. Come on and put your hands together. I can't go down. I'm in Washington, D.C. trying to sleep. And some say, get up. Pastor Chuck about to get online. Get up. Start praying. I'm an hour behind them. I told Pastor, I had to wait on y'all an hour. But I'm up. My spirit's up. I'm up. I'm up. I'm up. I'm in it. I'm in it. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm on. I'm on. I'm on. I'm in it. All right. All right. I felt a strength because we're connected. Connected to a movement that is happening right now. So if you haven't found your identity yet, this is the time. This is the fine wine time to find it. And I'm going to make an announcement. Take time for yourself. Get alone by yourself. And draw that inner intimacy to him. Something happens when you're by yourself. You can think of 10 things and all of a sudden you're crying. You can think of one situation and it makes you start praying. We have to spend time alone with God. I know this is a nice setting to come in and receive, but you got to make some time alone at home. You have to. And I got a message that I'm going to be bringing forward. But one thing, one point, when I bring this message forward about the open eyes and burning hearts is this. When you been with him, everybody knows it. When you really be with him, your family knows it. The friends that don't want to know it, they know it. The people that don't believe it, they know it. They just fighting what they know. She ain't changed. She ain't changed. She ain't changed. You see my change. I like you now. I love you now. I want to be your friend. I want to go eat with you now. I want to go sit down together. No, you can sit right here by me. I'm not saving this seat for nobody else. I was saving it for you. You feel my change. You feel I'm moving into something great. You feel something good working out. My son... In this small closing, my son have my contacts on my phone. And they have these names, Mateo, Micaiah, name it. But I have emojis behind all of them. And for Kai, she has stars, you know. Naaman, he has like a little boy face in a basketball. And Mateo has a bee. With a crown. So only I know what the B mean. But finally he had to go through my phone and send some pictures and stuff. He said, Mom, why you got this B by my name with the crown? I said, oh. I'm thinking, I'm the only one supposed to know what that means. I say, oh, it's there for a reason. He wouldn't leave it alone. Mom, tell me what the B mean. I said, you really want to know what the B mean? Because every time I hear from you, you sting my pockets. Every time you call me, you sting me. Ouch! He said, Mom, you about to have a meltdown in my office. I said, but look at the crowd. I believe that the crown go out wait on bee stings. Come on, somebody. What am I saying? his stings used to just overwhelm me. And I didn't know how to deal with the stings of what he was bringing and his experiences, his failures. I didn't know how to handle it. But when I moved into a greater place of God, and God stripped me of layers, I didn't know that it was going to impact my kids, half the layers that he took off me. But you know that sting, he can come through that phone and sting me. And I said, come on, where are you at? Where are you? He said, Mom, I ran out of gas. I'm over here at Bucky's. I mean, he stings me every time. I said, no, I don't have time for this. This is Valentine's. And I got off the phone. And some said, go back and get him. And I called back and I said, hey, let me give you my card number and get you out of there and get you to a safe place. He said, Mom, thank you. I love you a whole lot. We moved together. Come on, somebody. You can move together and change and impact your family. Your identity is to change your family. Don't wait for nobody to come and change your house. You change it. Don't wait. Please don't wait on me. Because the twins know if I get tired and I lay down, that's it. I'm not coming. Don't wait on nobody. If you see areas in your home, tell the Lord, bring forth a new identity in me. So Mattel now, he's still stinging a little bit. But now the new Tina knows how to take the stings. Come on, somebody. The way I receive the stings is totally different now. Because now you sting me. I'm saying, are you safe? Are you okay? Yes, I am. Okay, let's get you going here. Did you learn anything? Yes, ma'am. I don't stop making dumb mistakes. We all have to pay. And I don't like paying. Do you? No, ma'am. Okay, well, let's get over this hump and let's get going. Come on, somebody. Let's get over this and let's get going. How am I able to now move into that like that? When before it would shut me down and I didn't know how to handle. I couldn't breathe when your child hit some areas in your life. I couldn't talk. I couldn't even love. I didn't even know how to love, and you just stung me like that. Now this identity, this stripping, now I'm able to move in. Come on, somebody. I'm able to walk with you. And that's what this is. That's why it's important. Because lives are to impact lives. And that's why we're here. We're going to get ready to take up our offering. Kim, who wanted to do the offering message? We're getting ready to take up our offering, and I'm just want to release. There's testimonies coming forth, raw and uncut. There's some ugly stuff happening, but the good things are happening along with it. Some people do have to see a little ugly before they see that grand, beautiful. We can't paint no picture that you ain't going to go through nothing. Because the more you entangle yourself into a displaced identity, the more crisis you'll bring on your life. The more upside down you walking on your head, you become. So when it's time for you to stand up on those 2 feet, sometimes it's a bit tricky. There's some areas that you got to go through. Cut off, allow to happen, to finally get on your 2 feet and walk in God. And as you prepare your offering, know that there is a consuming fire of atmosphere in here. It's a drawing power in here. And all I see is Y-E-S, yes. That's all I see. The devil making you think is no. But your answer is yes. Whatever it is that you're looking for and you're feeling in your heart to come, to be connected to? The answer is yes. And no matter how much that no wants to knock on the door, don't open that door, no. If you keep believing by faith that my answer is yes, it's going to bring you right to it. And there's going to be a great release to happen. How do you know? It's because I hold steadfast to my faith. I'm unshakable and I'm unwaverable. It doesn't matter if I don't see it for a month. It doesn't matter if I don't see it right away when I think I should see it. I never move from it because I know the answer is yes. And the more you pull in for your increase, for multiplication, for what you know you should have, the faster you're going to have it because it won't tarry. I've seen things speed up more now. It's because I'm exercising faith. I'm putting the muscles in it. I'm believing God. Sometimes I pay bills and I don't see nothing. I don't see beyond that. It's something like the bills just suck up everything. Anybody know what that feels like? It just, did I just get paid? What happened to my check? I have to give the light company this. And let me tell you, I look and I pay. And then I look ahead. I look up. I say, something's coming. I take care of my business. And then I look up. Something's coming. I release that to you now. That when you release the increase, the tithe, and the offering, look up, because something is coming. If you keep looking down at what took it and what you had to do and how much it was, and it's gone and it's still gone. Where is it? It's gone. You're like, maybe they put it back in the bank. Maybe the mortgage company just going to feel sorry for me and just give it back. Maybe, maybe they will this month, like supernaturally. The bank will call me and say, you don't have to pay this month. Talking about what I walked through. But now I say, here's your stuff. Now I'm looking for mine. Here, you can have it. Because mine is coming. I see it. I see it. And I'm going to tell you, when the Father sees my gaze, He sees that I'm looking for the increase and the multiplication, not from the hands of man, but from the hands of God. So this morning, you're getting ready to give because you know the hands of God is going to give to you. Come on, somebody. We're not going to hold back, and we don't care about who we had to pay. We're going to be faithful. And when we be faithful, we're going to look up and look for the increase in Jesus' name.